Blog Talk Radio.
You ain't never gotta ask, never gotta question my love. I ain't never gonna let nothing come between us, my baby. The way I see it, girl, we can rule the world, we can have whatever we want. It's not like you're not worth it, more than deserve it. Girl, when it comes down to love, you're a game changer.
That's what you are. Mm-hmm.
Girl, you changed the game for me. Trying to take down everything I would meet. Well, when you came along, baby girl, you changed it all and stopped all my pain. I guess what I'm saying, girl, when it comes down to the love, you're a game changer.
It's awesome. We don't want to write that song, but we like playing that good music. Hello, everybody. This is Wonderful Wednesday. I'm Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, the host of Talking Sports Plus. And we want you to be a part of this show because that's why we want you to call in. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Now, if you want to just listen to the show, go to the web link, www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production. Now, you may say, why should I take time to listen to Talking Sports Plus? Because we got five outstanding individuals so proud of each and every one of us that's on here to have this opportunity to do what we're doing. We are the voice of historical black colleges and universities, high school, and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. So that's the reason why you want to check it out. You want to know what's going on in the historical black colleges and universities, what's happening in high school and middle school athletics. You just want to know. But besides that, we have some great people who serve as the hosts, myself, and the co-hosts. Each and every one of them, which I will introduce two of them tonight. And it's, I'm so glad to have these two here because we got some outstanding topics. Now, if you want to tweet the show, you can go to @TalkingSportsPlus with the number one, @LorenzoDSmith, And I'm going to try it. Coach_L_Smith@ElliottDarrell7. Those are the ways you can tweet the show. So we look forward to you communicating with us. We also want you to call in tonight because we still have a giveaway prize. You know, we had our Facebook Live broadcast at 5 o'clock. I'm sorry, at 7 o'clock. Just moving a little bit ahead of myself. At 7 o'clock, and we were waiting on the 10th caller. We didn't get to. And we're looking for you to make sure you fill this board up tonight so we can give away this prize. It's a $25 gift card to Red Lobster. If you don't have a Red Lobster in your area, just check us out anyway. What you can do, just, you know, if you're that 10th caller, you call in, I'll call the last four digits of your cell number, and then I ask you to identify yourself, your location. Now, if you want to just give your first name, fine, last name, fine, but then we'll make a way for you to contact us through our email, which is talkingsportsplus@gmail.com. Let's get this prize. Don't let me walk away and have it for the next show. I don't have a problem. I keep it going. Tomorrow is Valentine's Day, so that'll be a good opportunity for some of you all to go out, and you can use that $25 gift card and play a major part with your mate or your friend or whoever it is, family members, and you can enjoy yourself. All right, let's get started with our show tonight. Our show is entitled The Prize That Got Away. I was just thinking about those players that weren't supposed to sign with a school, those players that supposed to sign with an NBA team, was traded or whatever it was. We want to talk about the prizes that got away. Before I go to that, let me introduce my wonderful co-hosts. You know, I had to give them a raving introduction whenever I talk about them because, see, this show wouldn't be in existence without young people that's excited or people who have that experience that want to be a part and want to share their thoughts. We'll first start off with the lady of our millennium. So proud to have her every time because I know she's working hard through a rehab on her knee. None other than Coach Lauren D. Smith. How you doing, Lauren?
I'm doing well tonight. I'm glad to be on with you guys. Got a good show. I was very excited about the topics that we're about to bring before you, so I'm ready to go ahead and get it started.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you for being here, Lauren. I know you're going from day to day to make sure you get yourself up to par so you can bounce around like you used to. We're going to introduce the next individual. You know, y'all just don't know. I get tongue-tied when I get ready to introduce this young man. I'm so proud of him, you know, because he represents the Smith way, best way. And both of these young people do that. They are definitely the Smith way. And the thing about it, he goes out and keep grinding. You know, he started out, he was grinding and grinding, and everybody was just talking about, oh, you got a long way to go. But, you know, he took this phrase and he just captured this phrase and said, I'm going to use it. Ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. And then we said, well, we're going to call him the king because every time he predicts or prognosticate about something, it comes true. And our co-hosts, which I will let you know who their names, the other two are, and they said he's the king. So he's our king. He hails up there from Huntsville, Alabama. So proud to say he's my nephew. Very proud of him. Back-to-back champion of Huntsville Public School, middle school, however you want to say it, basketball for 2018 and 19. If you want to do 2017-18, 18-19. None other than Coach Tremaine Edwards. How you doing, Trey? I see Trey on the line. That's a raving introduction. Take that mute button off, Trey. How about that? We know you're trying to get with us. So Coach Edwards is going to join us in a minute, but I'm looking at him. I'm looking at him on the line, so I know he's trying to get with us. All right, our next two co-hosts. They're not here, but one of them is going to join us around about 8:30 or so. There you go. That sound like Trey right there. That's you, Trey?
Hey. I'm here, Doc.
Hey. Are you here? All right. Trey, I appreciate you getting with us and taking time to be with us tonight. Always. I know this basketball getting rolling up, these tournaments tomorrow, regional getting up, and everybody trying to grind and make it do what it do. Our next two hosts, and they're not here, but I want to make sure I introduce them. Touchdown Tony Stallworth, that's Coach Touchdown Tony. Tony Stallworth, he's going to join us about 8:30. He's going to talk about some high school basketball, and we look forward to having that Touchdown Tony Stallworth. And last but not least, the Don King of Entertainment, better known as the man with the E-Train. Get on the E-Train. Darryl E-Train Elliott. Those are the two co-hosts that will join us every week. But Darryl won't be here this week, but I know Touchdown and be with us about 8:30. All right, team, the prizes that got away. Let's start off with this recruiting that occurred last week. It was signing day 2019. Tell us what you thought. Tell me what you believe. How it's going to be. Who impacted? Who got the best class? And is that class going to perform at the highest level, the top five? Start off whoever want to start it off. Trey, you are Coach Smith. Tell us what you think about the signing class.
I dive in, Dr. Smith. I saw a report today that was talking about the recruiting classes of the HBCUs. It topped out with Southern at that one spot. Hold on one second, Dr. Smith. Hold on one second.
All right.
Let me log in here. All right, I'm in here, Dr. Smith. I start at 10. It's a tie at 10 with Jackson State and Alabama A&M. Prairie View is at 9. Grambling is tied with Prairie View at 9. Howard is at 8. Tennessee State is at 7. North Carolina Central is at 6. Florida A&M is at 5. Bethune-Cookman is at 4. Alcorn State is at 3. North Carolina A&T is at 2. And Southern is topping it off at that one spot. This right here, this ranking system had it great. Southern had 6 three-star athletes, Dr. Smith. 6 three-star athletes that committed to them. One was a DB from Baton Rouge that had other offers from LSU, so he decided to go the HBCU route. So Southern topped out, and we going to see some big-time football next year, Dr. Smith. Like I'm seeing a trend with a lot of three-stars and top-rated three-stars and lower-grade four-stars that are taking the HBCU route. It's going to be very competitive this year in the HBCU, Dr. Smith.
All right, then. That's awesome. All right. Trey, what do you think about the Alabama and the Georgia and the Clemson? Want to share some thoughts about that one as well?
Oh, yeah, it topped out like I thought it would, Dr. Smith. Bama at the one spot. Now, Georgia is close, Dr. Smith. I think if Alabama wouldn't have had a great early signing date, it probably would have gave them some problems right there at the end. Two guys that went elsewhere that I thought we would get, but after looking at all our recruits, I saw why we didn't get them. Linebacker from the West Coast, Henry Tutu, he committed to Tennessee, and there was another big lineman, two five-star athletes that committed to Tennessee. So Tennessee making some good steps, Dr. Smith. But like you said, one of our headlines, the big-time receiver from Hoover, decommitting from Auburn and going to Georgia. That's real big, Dr. Smith. That's letting you know what the Auburn, program is headed to, Dr. Smith. I just don't see them going anywhere. So I'm more concerned about what's going on in Georgia than what's going on at Auburn, Dr. Smith. That's it. That's all I got.
Okay. All right. Coach Smith?
Alabama State brought in a pretty good class, in my opinion. They got a lot of local guys. So they got a lot of guys from Sidney Lanier. I saw they got some guys from Jeff Davis. That's always good when the hometown school recruits locally. I was very proud about that because I know it's been a thing that Alabama State doesn't recruit locally. So glad to see that they're making strides in that area. Now, I'm going to talk about a school that y'all might laugh at, but I'm going to go ahead and say this. Ole Miss brought in a really good class. Now, will they make an impact on the field next year? I don't know. But they brought in a lot of good kids, a lot of big kids. So Ole Miss should look pretty good in the next 2 years because that recruiting class, it shocked me. I was at home watching it on ESPN, and I kept seeing Ole Miss, Ole Miss, Ole Miss. I'm like, man, these folks know where they're going. And they blew my mind. So I really want to see how that plays out for them in the next 2 years.
Awesome, awesome. I'm going to tell you. And, you know, as Trey, I kind of look at that top five and see those teams that you were talking about, the group of not the group of five, but the power five now, where you had those teams that's at the top either every year or every other year. So Alabama was seven out of eight years and had the top recruiting class. And, you know, that's amazing. And that's why when you come out with the two early projections, you're going to have Alabama first or either second. Now, actually, I think they have Clemson first and Alabama second because you got to think about, yes, Trevor Lawrence is coming back. They lost they lost quite a few players as well, especially on defense. They got seven return on offense. I'm talking about Clemson and about seven on defense. Seven on offense returning and four on defense. And they're looking – several of those defensive linemen that are leaving. I understand Cleveland Farrell, I think he changed his mind, so he's going to come back. But he's rated going to be a number one draft choice, and I don't know what he can benefit by coming back. Then you have Alabama with Tua coming back with those prolific, I say, special receivers. This is the first time I've seen four or five receivers, and then they added a few other people to it. That's going to create problems for a lot of people, as well as the running back core going to be off the chain again. So, and then the offensive line going to have to get out and block. So that those two top teams are at the top. Then you have Georgia. You know, Georgia is Alabama 1 and Georgia 2. Clemson was maybe 5. But when you look at the preseason poll, too early to project, you'll see that a little different. So you see some things going on with this recruiting, and it's evidence how the level of performance is going to be and who's going to be ranked at the top. Yeah, everybody getting tired of Alabama, Georgia, and Clemson, and they talking about it. But until they lose that 1, 2, 3 level of recruiting, you're going to keep looking at that because you got to remember the ones that recruited this year, you're not counting, most schools not counting on them for 2 or 3 years. So you're talking about with that kind of level of talent, you're going to be up on top for the next 2 or 3 years with the people you already had from the previous class. But beyond that, you're talking about still 4 or 5 years. So get used to it. Don't get upset. Don't say you're tired of them. You're tired of them winning. You're glad to see them lose. The dynasty is dead. The dynasty is not dead. They will be back. And when they come back, they will have a fear of fire blowing out of their nose and mouth and nostrils ringing. Call it. So you're going to be seeing a situation where those teams, because they're recruiting at a high level. All right, team, let's kind of look at the situation. I think Trey brought it up by George Pickens, the 5-star top player in the state of Alabama, besides the offensive lineman. Georgia guy was the top offensive lineman, the top two players. He was committed to Auburn. So our question is by Georgia flipping the 5-star George Pickens from Auburn, is this a big deal? And I want y'all to just think, because I'm going to read something I saw on social media. It's a note that I took. And someone put in social media, might be Instagram, they say, knew this was coming, better stop playing and drop the check. Everybody else is doing it. Tell me what your thoughts are, my people. Tell me what your thoughts are.
I'm gonna ignore that post, Dr. Smith, because that's gonna incriminate a lot of teams and stuff. But like people said, and this is the key, Dr. Smith. This is why I don't listen to Instagram posts. Because if Georgia can drop a check, I think Auburn can too. So you comparing programs like that, Auburn might not be winning, but they still can drop some money to the best of them. I mean, they, as you see, Auburn is in the middle of allegations every year, football, basketball, or whatever. But I can't agree with that post, because if Auburn could have dropped the check, they would have dropped it. But that's a big time move for picking, so to go to Georgia. But only thing I'm iffy about is that quarterback situation over there. It's gonna be a problem. Fromm is a game manager, and he made some big throws against Bama, but he's a game manager. And I think their best quarterback did leave, Dr. Smith, so the one that gave him the best chance. But that's all I got for this situation right there, Dr. Smith.
Awesome, awesome. Awesome. Lauren, you got any thoughts in regards to that?
Yeah, I kind of want to turn my attention to the flip from Auburn to Georgia. That kind of tells me a lot about Auburn's program and where they're headed, because I didn't hear any big-time recruits going to Auburn. And as we saw last year, they didn't, in my opinion, they weren't worth a quarter of the paper that the dollar's printed on. So they can't really in a decent recruiting class, then Auburn might be in a lot of trouble. But that flip, I kind of saw that flip coming, because I'm always on Twitter and stuff like that, and I follow that young man. So that I saw that coming. So I wasn't surprised by that. But the cut the check thing, people need to stop implying that. You get a lot of people in trouble with that, implying cut the check.
And just to add to that, I take it as it may not be a check cut, but there's got to be some serious recruiting out there. And out there recruiting, you got to work hard. If it means you spending money to fly a helicopter in on the football field, that's still money. You got to understand, it don't have to be physically putting money in that person's hand. I just think that person wrote that it's just the way they see it at Auburn. We're not doing enough to get these players. No, Georgia, our rival, shouldn't flip a player from us if we playing at the level that we supposed to play. So I take it as, okay, yeah, you got to spend the money. And I'm not saying they're not spending, but they're, you know, it's unique ways to get to these players. And then one of the things that we have to keep in mind, winning cure everything, people. I'm telling you, if you're winning, I don't care whatever little problem you have, it's going to overshadow those problems. But if you're not winning, if you're losing 4 to 5 games every year, and every now and then you're winning 2, then it's going to be hard for you to recruit those players when they know they can go to Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, Texas, anywhere else, even LSU. So the point is, the post was how they see that we're not working as hard as the Auburns, the Georgias, the Clemsons, the Texas, the LSU, the Texas A&M. We're not working as hard. We're not putting the money out there to get these players. We're not dropping the coach down in the middle of the football field while school is going on with a helicopter. If you do that, you're going to draw all the attention. Now this player become a whole different attitude. So I think the post was fair. It was fair. We got to be better if we want to compete with the best. I took it that way. So we got a situation going on that it got to be some better recruiting done over there from Auburn University if they want to keep time players like the 5-star Jordan Pickens or whoever they're going for, because they got to compete against Alabama. Now you got to compete against Georgia, which always been there. But it's rough when you're not winning and they don't see your program as a winning program, see you as an average 4-loss team. Program for loss every year, and you want to be on the top like the Alabama and the Georgia, but you can't be. So that's the situation. So the check may need to be spent in another way. Something needs to happen different. All right, we're going to discuss it after the day, because we're on our coach's corner. Anthony Davis was not traded to the Lakers by the deadline. What happened there? What do y'all think occurred with that team? Was the Pelican being decepted when they was talking about they had 10 days and everybody thought the Lakers had 10 days to get? Was that a deception? What was going on? I just want us to share our thoughts on it. And I'll start off. I'm going to start off with this. And I just think that because everybody thought Clutch Sports was involved with it and LeBron was manipulating, I think everybody actually just went against that team went against LeBron because they think they can get what they want. And it's beginning to look in its dire state at time because it don't look like you can get those players. And the players you have, they was playing at some level, but they had completely stopped playing at that level. So now we're getting close to the playoff, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. But tell me your thoughts on that. What exactly happened? Did the Pelicans, was they deceptive in what they was doing? They just using this time in spite of, because this is the third athlete that has been some problems. I mean, that could be over at L.A., but they choosing not to be there. What's your thoughts?
Dr. Smith, it was no way I would even thought about giving the Pelicans what they was asking for. I mean, you want me to deplete my team for one player. Even though the one player is legit, I couldn't do that, Dr. Smith. I couldn't deplete my whole team. As far as being deceptive, yeah, I think they were trying to tear the team up anyway because it worked because we look like trash right now. As far as LeBron initiated it, I think he initiated, but I don't think he knew all that we was going to give them, Dr. Smith. We trying to give away the world for one joker, man. I didn't agree with that trade.
Okay, so you're saying that they was giving away too much, but the point is they give away that much and the Pelican did not negotiate in good faith. So if they're going to give you all those players, I don't see no reason why you wouldn't give them take those players and build your team for one player. They can't get a better deal than that, I'm saying. So the point is, were they being deceptive or did they the Pelican was not doing this in good faith? Matter of fact, I understand they wouldn't even take Magic's call. This was just what people said that Magic was willing to give up. They was willing to, but it was never accepted the call to say they was going to take those five players and two first-round draft charges and money. I don't understand why anybody would turn down that. They think they can get more later, which I don't think they can.
I think it was.
Go ahead, Dr.
Smith. It was deceptive, Dr. Smith. That was ridiculous. That was, and like you said, why wouldn't you take that trade? Like I would have threw it. I would have flew Anthony Davis over there for you. Here you go. Go on, get him in there. Send me my five guys. You to change your whole starting lineup with them guys coming in. But they won the whole team for seven jokers for one. But they would have to give something else out.
But they didn't ask for that. That's what the Lakers was willing to give. The Lakers were willing to give them players because they really felt like if they get Anthony Davis, they can get one more max player. They can do what they need to do because their players is really like little boys out there. They playing like little boys. That's why they're going to end up missing the playoffs. That's what we're going to talk. But Coach Smith, you want to share your thoughts on that? Let Coach Smith get her thoughts in here.
I thought the whole trade was stupid, and I said this last week. I thought the week before that, I thought this was the dumbest thing they could have ever done, and I'm going to tell you why. You're about to give up four or five guys for one guy. Well, you get one guy, you give up four or five guys. We also have to look at this. Trade deadline came, Magic stepped back and watched all these other teams trade these people away. He had nobody to pick up to replace those four or five guys that he was about to get rid of. Anthony Davis, okay, cool. Anthony Davis has been hurt, in my opinion, a lot the past two or three years. It's not like he's been like LeBron where he hasn't missed that many games. He's missed a lot of games for injuries. I would not give up for some healthy young Bulls. Now, here go the other problem we got with that. Y'all said it looked terrible. I think half this stuff is LeBron James' fault because when they were talking about trading these guys, LeBron James never stepped up for his teammates. Same man on opening night said, when your brother fall down, you pick him up. LeBron James said nothing to defend these guys. Not saying that I don't believe we should break the team up like this for you know, or maybe a shoulda, coulda, woulda. LeBron James was quiet. He was silent. And you could see LeBron James' first game back on the bench. It looked like that. Nobody wanted to sit by LeBron. Like he was sitting over there by himself. I don't even believe they probably talked to the man. It was crazy. It didn't make any sense. It's the dumbest thing I ever heard. I'm glad it didn't go through. This summer, I don't believe it's going to go through. So, end of the day, we'll be playing for Portland or somebody else. It won't be the Lakers.
Well, and you're so right that it is LeBron's team, and Magic promised LeBron to get him anything he wanted to win a championship. And those y'all, we call them young bulls, but a lot of folks said they weren't even good enough to trade. And they play like they're not good enough. I'm going to say this. To me, they don't play good enough to be traded off like if it was Rozier, if it was Tatum, if it was Brown. You see what I'm saying? They are not reaching the level they need to reach. Ball stay hurt half the time. Kuzum got an attitude half the time. These guys, you can do without some of these guys. Because what you can do is, Billy, I was all for giving all five plus the coach. Get rid of the coach. Get all of them out there and start all over. I'm serious. Start all over. Because LeBron, you get LeBron and get an Anthony Davis there. You can bring in players. You can play with the guys you already have there because you got them. They old and they see them. So those guys got to step up, man. Those guys are not stepping up because LeBron was out for 17 games. They won six of them. And the thing about it, that's when they should have turned their game up to another level. So my point is, and then they crying like little babies because they was going to get traded. It's the game. It's the business, guys. That's what it's all about. You can be traded at any time. If it means five of y'all, that means five of y'all ain't doing what y'all supposed to do. So I'm just saying that they're going to have to do something. But now the league now do not want to trade with the Lakers. So my question to us and to our team here is, can the Lakers make the playoff now? If they can't make the playoff, are they going to fall in the lottery? And then what exactly going to do then? Because they don't need to draft another Lonzo Ball. Lonzo Ball hadn't come up to the level he's supposed to be. And Kuzma was second round. Ingram, he don't fit what LeBron wants to do. Y'all got to remember that because he had to have the ball in rhythm. LeBron going to have the ball. So what's going to happen here if they don't make the playoffs? Who's going to be drafted? Who could be drafted? I just want us to think about that right now. Because they're going to fall in the 11th slot, 10th, 11th, 8th slot if they don't make the playoff. What y'all think about that right quick? Then we'll move forward. The calling number is 347-857-4192. Team, what do y'all think about that?
Dr. Smith, we look like high trend, man. We done lost to the Hawks. We're losing to the Hawks. We look like they tanking. It looked like we tanking too. Out of having pride for the game, man, I can't go out there to lose. And I don't care what's going on within my team. I'm trying to win every game. With a mega weapon like LeBron, you have a chance to win every game. I think we got enough. In the beginning of the season, I thought we had enough to compete for the championship. I mean, you got to understand the young Lakers didn't beat Golden State by 20 on Christmas Day. I mean, people say it's just a game, but that shows you their, you know, capability. But we're not consistent, Dr. Smith. Like you're saying, anybody can be traded. I just want to deplete my team like that. I would have sent three of them, Joker, for one. You know what I'm saying? But I can't give you five plus two future, Joker. I can't do all that because that's messing with my picks for the summer. The next guy I need to complete my team. But we playing like trash too. And Dr. Smith, after we finish this, can we touch that recruiting thing right quick? When we finish talking about this, I want to go back to recruiting for one second and ask a question.
All right. Okay, Coach Smith, you got any – you want to end a statement about that in regards to that? And we, if not, we can swing back to the recruiting that Coach Apples want to touch bases on.
Yeah, I'm going to say one thing. It wouldn't hurt the Lakers to tank and possibly get an 8 to 10 between that range draft pick because I've been watching college basketball, and the Lakers need somebody that's a shooter, a two guard that they do not have. So tanking right now would not be a bad idea.
Awesome, awesome. Great, great. Call in number 347-857-4192. Let's join it now. Join the conversation because you have a chance. We still have our gift card out there. You need to make sure you call in. I see a few people on the line, but we got to get that 10th caller, and I'm looking for that 10th caller when I make that call out right at the 8:35 hour, which is about a minute. You can make yourself the 10th caller. All right, let's move back, Trey. Let's quickly look at the recruiting. Let's look back at the recruiting, and we'll move forward to the transfer rule and also Kyler Murray. Go ahead on, Trey.
Okay, this is the question I had, Dr. Smith. And I was asking a question to one of my fellow, you know, college athletes. Should we recognize PWO as signing day? That's the question I'm going to ask you, Dr. Smith.
Should you recognize the who now? Trey.
PWO, Dr. Smith, I prefer to walk on. Should they be recognized on signing day? Because I'm noticing a lot of schools doing this, Dr. Smith. I look on the sites for jokers, and they not on the site, but they putting on hats like they going to this school. You see what I'm saying, Dr. Smith? I'm saying, you see it, and I know you seeing it, Dr. Smith, because I didn't see the most ASU hats in the history of Black colleges.
Yeah.
I ain't never seen that many jokers in Montgomery putting on the Alabama State hat, and I look on the site, and Alabama State and sign 8-9 jokers, and ain't none of them on the site. Should we recognize that, Dr. Smith? That's the question I'm asking.
Okay. See, what's going on here with that, and this is going back to way before your time, Tremaine, when they call granting aid. Granting aid mean that if a kid reached that requirement, you can split their scholarships up. You can split these scholarships. If you got players left, you can fill that slot, but you may have an extra scholarship and you split them up. So they are preferred walk-on because you're going to use their granting aid to pay for part of their school and everything. So, yeah, you only can sign 25. If you look at the thing, they only had 25 on there, but you saw more with hats on. But matter of fact, I think they came back in and they added 5 more somewhere down the line. So they are players that can be signed or can be on that day sign a piece of paper. Now, just remember now, sign a piece of paper, and I think Laura may can share some thoughts about this. I want Laura to kind of look at this. She can remember a couple of years ago at St. Jude, and it was an incident where a kid signed the paper at Alabama A&M. Laura, do you remember that? He's supposed to sign at Alabama A&M, and actually the coach didn't have no scholarship for him. Coach Smith, do you remember that a couple of years back?
Yeah, it happened. It went further back. It even hit my class. So I didn't know this. I found this out like a year after I graduated, where it was a kid who academically didn't qualify, but he had a signing day, and he put a hat on and everything, but academically he did not qualify. And with that kid, the school tried to bargain with the kid and said, hey, if you go to a JUCO in 2 years, we'll sign you. So it's technically like you did sign with us, but you won't come to your junior year. That kid ended up not taking that scholarship. And then it also happened a year later, where these kids signed to go to A&M, another junior college, and I think Stillman was one of them or something like that. And it was no documentation of this kid. The coach didn't even know who the kid was. And the coach came back and said,
Yeah,
if you send me film on the kid, I'll sign him. But the kid ended up going to A&M. He just didn't play football because he wasn't going on no false hope. And a lawsuit ended up coming out of this for that, actually. So, yeah, I saw that happened last year, though. It happened last year at Alabama State, where these kids, the kid at Park Crossing, he put a hat on, but he was not on the roster. And he later in the summer, he later got added onto the roster.
Yep, exactly. And
I've
seen that for several years. And that's where I saw it even with 2 years ago, even with Texas Southern had like 35 kids, either 35 kids they had signed, said they signed, saw their names on there. But I do know that there's a way you can manipulate it through grant and aid. Well, we call Pell Grant. It's grant and aid. Because everybody, you take that anyway, they still have to apply for grant and aid. So what they'll do, they'll accept a walk-on status, and they can come on, but they still can sign on that day. All they're doing is signing a piece. You don't know what piece of paper he signed. You just know he's signing because he's putting a hat on. You got to remember that. Now, that's something that goes, when you talk about preferred, yeah, those preferred. And they've been doing it. They did it. They didn't do it last year. I mean, well, 2 years ago, but they did it last year. And about
yeah,
4 years ago, they did it. And they did it this year. And the thing about it, if those kids meet the requirement, they still can be added to the roster. They just had to go in as they walk on during preseason and go and walk and still make the team. And he can have all 38
right.
of those guys out there. He can have
yeah.
them all out there, but only 25.
That's about the number even signed in Montgomery between four
yeah.
high school. I done seen 38
yeah.
Doku with Alabama State hats on.
Yeah. And the good, we got to take this and see it in a positive way, because that means that somehow somebody is getting to those kids to say they want to even go to Alabama State, because it was one time when they didn't want to go to Alabama State. So I take it as a plus, even if it was happening. As a matter of fact, sign one of your outstanding kids from up there, your end up there, a receiver,
yeah,
something
from
up in your Huntsville. Come on,
from May Jim.
Yeah, come all the way down to Alabama State. So it's your staff now going out drawing the kids out of the city. Lauren said earlier, Coach Smith said earlier that those players gonna add to it. They're gonna add to it. They're gonna get the city involved when you got more players out there from your local that wanna actually go to your school. And you gotta have a recruiting base now for this coach as well as your coach, even though you didn't have that many. No, they're recruiting base. Jenkins recruiting base as well as Ely is South Florida. That's why you can go down and see four or five kids sign with South Florida from South Florida. Or they transferring from schools to Alabama State. From Miami, they was at schools down there. Now they're able to come, but they got to recruit. They recruit heavy down in South Florida. That's a big base for them. So they do that. Jenkins the same way, and that's what him. They work so well, him and Ely on that. So Ely got a bunch of them that about four or five from Miami that went to other colleges. See, and those kids already in school because they started in January. So. We see some strange things going on. Now let's kind of move forward to our next topic, and that's about transfer exception waiver for athletes. Should it be changed? You know, and I'll use for example Justin Fields. Now for our listeners, let me kind of share a little thought on this. That only can be granted when a documented mitigating circumstance that's outside the control of the player will allow him to transfer due to that. If it caused a direct impact on his health, safety, and well-being, just think about it. We're going to just use Justin Fields because you got Tay Martell sitting out there too now. So tell me what you think about the team. Then we're going to go to Kyler Murray, and then we're going to slip on down there to some high school basketball.
Dr. Smith, I disagree with the transfer rule. It's people that have been paid homage for Fields that have had to sit out. Kyler Murray, number one, he transferred to Oklahoma and sat out. But for them to give Fields a transition where they're saying that this is hardship on him, because he didn't win the starting job. Come on, Dr. Smith. That means everybody can transfer. Don't let everybody transfer in. If you going to give him a transfer, you might as well let everybody transfer. I disagree totally with that rule, and the NCAA is really losing their mind these last couple of days. It started with the Missouri situation. For them to hit them across the head like that, for that situation, Dr. Smith, I mean, why they come down on Polo, Missouri, though? I mean, North Carolina did the same thing. The same thing just happened to North Carolina. And they got pennies. We're going to pay y'all this year. No probation, no none of that. But I don't understand why. I don't get why Justin Fields gets a pass on this rule. He lost his job. He was the second-string quarterback. He transferred. End of discussion. I mean, he need to sit out. So that transferred a ladder of things. So Tate Martell should be straight, because Tate Martell was in the threshold way now out of your state. So there's a bunch of things triggered that, but I disagree with that, Dr. Smith. NCAA needs to do better.
Exactly. And just to kind of add a little caveat, Coach Smith, before you come in, is that he says that one of the baseball players, a young man named Sasser, called him a racist slur. So that was the mitigating circumstances that caused him, because it affected his health, and he had to be transferred. Now, it was all right. Now, it happened not during his transfer time. This happened in the early part of the year, in October. But as soon as he wanted to transfer, he got an attorney that helped the fellow that's at Michigan get cleared to allow to come there and say, okay, you're going to argue. The NCAA didn't want to fight it. That's what I think it boils down. They don't want to. There's certain things they want to fight on and certain things they don't. For example, with Missouri, you want to deal with that situation. But Tate Martell is coming up. It's going to be a discussion. Coach Smith, tell me what you think about either one of them.
Okay, so Justin Fields, I feel like he finessed the system, and this is why I'm going to say that. Justin Fields is from Georgia. Justin Fields lives almost 45 minutes or an hour away from Athens, right? So if somebody called you out your name, why you just didn't go home when he called you out, when they called you out your name? You live 45 minutes an hour away, huh? You catch a flight home. It's none of that. That's why I said he finessed the system. He was at home. He went to school at home. So for him to go to Ohio State and his parents hired this attorney, and they took it to the court and got it whatever done, cool. But Justin Fields also went to a mixed high school. He did not go to an all-black school. His high school was mixed. So when it came out that happened, I said, oh, well, that probably is not the first time he has gotten called that. Did he leave his high school when they called him that? No, because he broke state records in high school. So that's why I said he finessed the system. Tate Martell, my opinion, should have transferred last year. He should have transferred last year. Now he's about to be in a bind. Tate Martell, in my opinion, is an amazing quarterback from Las Vegas. Bishop Gorman is an amazing quarterback from down that way. He's going to be in a bind. And I don't think Tate Martell has the lawyer that Justin Fields or Shea Patterson had, but if not, he need to get on the phone and call that man, because he out here finessing the NCAA left and right.
Exactly, and that's exactly what he's doing, is having a attorney to be able to read the rule and then challenge it. They don't want to challenge it. You know, we can even go back to this high school situation right here. You know, now you got a regional, and you got that team still moving on to the regional now, and this team is moving on to the state tournament. Now, what exactly going to happen? Because everybody's sitting around trying to see what's going to happen, because I can tell you right now, if nothing happens with this situation, because of the outside pressure, everybody's going to start doing some things that you can't fight them on, because all they're going to do is file an injunction on you. As a matter of fact, the situation with St. Paul has not been – I think it's St. Paul is coming back up. Is it St. Paul about this scale they use about determining the weight of enrollment? That was going to court, which a decision had already been made, but it's been pushed to the next level and saying it's going to court. So is the High School Athletic Association, is it losing its teeth? Is it not able to make a decision? Is it going to continue to let this go on? I just want y'all to take a minute and share your thoughts about that. You can call in and do the same, 347-857-4192. You can call in and share your thoughts on that. Tell me exactly what is the situation with the transfer exception waiver for athletes. Should it be changed where everybody can't get an opportunity to do that just because you ran into a situation when somebody else said something that you didn't like, or you didn't get the starting position, or you not happy because things didn't go your way because they told you were going to be walking on ice and walking on clouds, and now you're just walking on ground with everybody else? Tell me exactly what you think. So call in and let us know what's going on. Also, it's open for the callers. I get that 10th caller so I can make sure I can give this out to you tonight. And it doesn't matter who it is. Now, it ain't no something that can't be whoever called in. I don't know who is on the line. If it turned out to be whoever, we're going to let you know that you have won that, and we're going to give it away in the next 3 minutes. So whoever's calling in now to make that 10th caller, let's look, because I'm looking at my board. I'm about to count down and see what number 10 at. All right, team, let's kind of look at Kyler Murray. Tell me what you think. Decision to play football. And I just want you to keep this in mind, because last year Lamar Jackson was coming out last year, and they said Lamar Jackson, he was good enough to throw for 5,000 or 6,000 yards and win a Heisman. Next year, he still threw just as many yards, but he wasn't good enough to be in the NFL. And I know people going to kind of say, well, what about that game with the LA Chargers? Well, we said it wasn't geared toward players that can run. You might be able to throw, but tell me your thoughts on that, because I'm confused now. Kyle, all the build-up. It's so much build-up. Tell me exactly what y'all think, team, about the build-up in regards to Kyler Murray.
I dive in, Dr. Smith. I'll be real quick. Kyler Murray, I think, made the decision with his heart. He's a football player at heart. I think he just plays baseball and is very good at it. The safer sport would have been baseball. But he played with his heart, so he chose football. So will he be successful? I think he will. With the rate of the quarterbacks, these years are going down. I think it will be detrimental, you know, for him not to play. I think he has more of an opportunity to play in a league of with football. And I just think he made the right decision, Dr. Smith.
Okay. All right, Laura.
So I'm going to disagree. I do not believe that he made the right decision. But if he made it with his heart and he believes in himself, then that's cool. But if I'm making decisions with my pocket and my mind, I'm choosing baseball every time. People said, well, he'll be in the minor league. Well, minor leagues make a good amount of money, plus he had a signing bonus. His signing bonus, on top of what he would make if he actually did make it to the major league, in my opinion, is not going to equal his football salary. Two, in this day and time, I wouldn't want anybody to pick football over baseball, just especially at the quarterback, talking about concussions and things like that, these injuries that we're seeing. I wouldn't want anybody to risk that. Three, I'm probably just going to be like, why you said this? This don't make no sense. But we can look at Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston was in the same position. He had an opportunity to go play baseball or go to the NFL. Now, we see how that played out. Jameis Winston was also on record saying he wouldn't play football, but maybe 5 to 10 years, and then he'll go play baseball. Well, now it looks like Jameis Winston might want to shorten that time up and go up there and play a little baseball, get it popping like Tim Tebow, because but it looks terrible. I don't want Kyler Murray to be in that situation where people in around this time next to him saying he should have went to play baseball. Now he hear all this criticism. But if he made the decision with his heart, that's cool. But if it was me, that was my kid, we taking the money, we going to play in the MLB.
And that's awesome. And I guess I'm kind of confused, and let me kind of share this, because I'm kind of confused when I was hearing things about players, what they can't do and what they can do. You need to be a receiver. Or even with Deshaun Watson, as some people said over in Houston, he's not good enough, smart enough quarterback, the black quarterback apparently. Now, all of a sudden, now you're going to adjust the offense for this person. Baker Mayfield did this, or Pat Mahomes did this. Before, the black quarterback, even with that idea of running, wasn't good enough. I don't care. Don't say accuracy is if you can throw a out from one hash mark to the NFL to the other hash mark, you accurate. I don't care what these people keep saying about this wonder crap, because this wonder ain't no wonder like everybody say it is. It's just being able to throw and keep the ball moving. And I just think if he got to stand up in the pocket, he will not be successful because he ain't going to be able to see. But we got everybody changing now. Change the offense. Kingsbury? Oh, he's the master of this. If he was, he won more than 7 or 8 games a year at Texas Tech. If he's such a master, he had Pat Mahomes and the other kid. So my thing is, I'm like this. This is not going to be any different than what you've been saying before. You want to talk all this stuff right now, but when this kid is not successful, you're going to say, just like Coach Smith said, you know, he should have took that. You know, he's too short. And the truth of the matter, you can't adjust the offense but a little bit. So, but I'm going to just weigh in on this, and I want you to – now, Falco, what's his name? Falco at the Ravens, he's been what? Traded to Denver. So they mean they plan on investing in the quarterback that couldn't be nothing but a receiver. Tell me what y'all think about that. Lamar Jackson supposed to be the quarterback that goes supposed to be the receiver. Now you ain't got rid of the starting quarterback and gonna get a team to him. What do y'all think about that?
Big time move for the Ravens. I believe in that process, Dr. Smith. I wish the Redskins would have got Flacco, though. I take Flacco on what we got now. I would have took him.
Exactly. Coach Smith, what do you think about before Lamar Jackson supposed to have been a receiver? You know, he ain't supposed to play quarterback. Now you're talking about a team investing in him because you ain't got rid of the, whoever the starting quarterback was. Tell me what you think about that.
So I kind of see it a little different. I kind of see Lamar Jackson's ceiling was higher than Joe Flacco. And when we say this with me, he's younger. So I'm thinking with money and with mine, he's younger. He's going to be able to take those hits and bounce back. If something happens to him, he breaks his leg, boom, he got to worry. He'll bounce back quicker. Then, okay, Joe Flacco break his leg. Oh, God, now we got to do this, boom, boom, boom. So I think they made a decision by his ceiling. I will always take a younger kid over older guy. And Tremaine said that Joe Flacco is better than Alex Smith. I don't know, Trey. I think they might be, you know, neck and toe and toe in that thing right there.
Awesome.
Hold on, Dr. Smith.
Get up.
With the, Lauren, I got to take Flacco with the way this man broke his leg off. We'll never get back to he'll never get back regular. The way that man lead went, and we got to get somebody with some promise. I think we need an established guy in there. We need an established guy in there. If we don't get established, because if we go young, we're gonna have to lose some more. We ain't got time to be losing. We got to win.
Awesome. Yeah. So that's what we got going on. We're talking about players that couldn't be quarterbacks because the system don't allow you. Now, all of a sudden, we're going to adjust the system to allow us to play quarterback. And I'm glad we're seeing that. It took Patrick Mahomes to have the success he was having for them to open their eyes up that these quarterbacks that will not stand up in there and move is an advantage for you. It's not a disadvantage. And I don't care what nobody said. If you can move and put more pressure on the defense got to count for you. They cannot overlook you. Just because, and they say they force you to be in the pocket, you can always open it up and make sure you get them players on the corner. You can get them on the corner if you want them on the corner where they can do damage to other teams. So we're seeing that going on. The pros adjusting, and I think it's time for them to adjust and get that mentality out of there. Everybody can't be like Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, stand up there 6'5", 6'6". We got the feet, let's use our feet. But this has been going on for 40-plus years because I can tell you, 1976, there was a quarterback at Tennessee State called 747 Adams. And he could throw the ball with his feet, but they always say he could never play quarterback because he would not stand up in the pocket and get hit. So my point is, we're in a whole different time now. All these guys can play it. All right, let's quickly move to some high school. I hope in touchdown Tony would be on here in a minute, but it looked like he didn't make it. But let's look at some high school. Coach Elvis, tell us what you got going on your way up there in that northeast and northwest region for the playoff.
All right, Dr. Smith, I'm concerned with two schools. Lee Huntsville girls play at 9 o'clock versus the Huffman girls. We're in the Jacksonville bracket. Lee Huntsville boys play Pinson Valley at 1:30 in Jacksonville. Also on the other side, we have Columbia versus Bessemer City, which will play on Friday, too, at 1:30 at Wallace State. We had three teams in the top three from Huntsville, Alabama. In the final rankings, one of them is at home. Mae Jemison got upset by the Buckhorn Bucks. Buckhorn was an honorable mention team. They were 22-5, and they snuck up on Jemison and got him. So right now we got Lee Huntsville, boys and girls, and Columbia boys up here in the brackets, the Huntsville team, Huntsville area teams.
Okay, so let me ask you, Trey, are they playing on a Friday Are they scheduled to play on Friday? Both of those, all three of those teams, are they scheduled to play on Friday? Because the 6A down here will play on Friday. The Southwest and Southeast, which is Friday, because 7A play tomorrow. So is they playing on Friday?
All teams will play on Friday. What's up, Kess? All teams will play on Friday.
Okay. Well, that'll work. That'll work. So we got that. Coach Edwards, Coach Smith, you want to share your thoughts in regards to that? I'm on you, Coach. Go ahead. Coach Smith.
Yeah, so we have a lot of teams around this metro Montgomery area that will be playing. I think tomorrow, I think you have Lee playing over at Garrett Coliseum. Friday, you have a full load. I think Carver plays Friday. Lanier plays Friday. Jeff Davis girls, do they play tomorrow or Friday? One of the two.
They play tomorrow.
But I'm going to tell you, they play tomorrow. Okay, so Jeff Davis versus Central Phoenix City. I started today. Let me keep my opinion myself. It's Blue Tech girls and boys are both there. Pipe Road, first year being a varsity team, girls and boys are there. But this is a team everybody needs to be at the Dome on Friday night at 7:30 when the Calhoun Tigers, they got one of the most explosive teams I done seen come from down there in a long time. They got a boy named JD, and when I tell y'all he jumping out the gym, y'all want to see somebody jumping out, that boy jumping out the gym, dunking on you. They running all on the floor down in Calhoun. They selling out gyms down there. 7:30 Friday, please be at the Astro. I'm going to be there. I got to watch the show again. That boy ain't nothing to play with. And in the 10th grade, he ain't nothing to play with. Y'all need to come out here and support these kids. I'm telling you, I'm excited. I think this is the best time of the year.
Awesome, awesome. I'm with you, Coach. And, you know, we're getting started tomorrow morning over that both of the sites here in the central part of the state of Alabama. You have your 7A, like I mentioned, you got the Lee and the Lee boys and the Jeff Davis girls that'll be playing on tomorrow morning. Then on Friday morning, you got the Lanier boys, Carver boys, and Carver girls that'll be playing Friday morning. And at the afternoon on Thursday, you'll have the 1A playing at both of the sites. And on the afternoon it's after 3:00 for the Friday in both areas, you'll have at the Southwest, which is Alabama State University, you will have Calhoun and Central Hainville. So proud. That was about that. My last team I coached at Hainville Middle was these girls that are junior now, and they won the area 3 years in a row. So they've been to Alabama State 3 years in a row as themselves being the leader, but they also actually 4 years because they went as an eighth grader. And so they've been going 4 years, and they're juniors this year. So they'll be over at Alabama State. So they'll play the game before Central play. And then you also have the Brew Tech girls and boys. We're so proud of them. The most game they have won, and won 27 or 28 games. And 29, I said now, because they won their area tournament, or either they won the two sub-regional or whatever they need, only one sub-regional in the other game. We'll applaud them. Then we have Brew Tech doing well. Lanier doing real well. They'll be playing. Carver girls are doing well. Carver boys. So that might be a matchup you're going to get a chance to see on the 19th, where you could see either Lanier playing Carver again. So we look forward to see that going on. So it's some exciting basketball. We applaud all our teams. You got the Prattville Christian, Hillcrest down in Evergreen. They're going to be out there. You got Salem over there. They're going to be a part of this. And you have so many teams that's pushing forth and playing real well. So we'll applaud each and every doing something real positive. You know, we're at the point now where we're about to close the show now. Now, we had the Florida District starting on the 11th, so they're just beginning to get it going. They started on the 11th, so they're playing now, getting ready to get to their point. They can get to their state tournament. We're going to have some information about them tomorrow as well. But we're at the closing of the hour, and I'm looking at my board and trying to see if there's a question we got here. I want to make sure they just didn't push the button on their arm, but I'm gonna hit and say the number. The last four digits of their telephone number is 1066. You're now live. Do you want to share some thoughts? That's 1066. You want to share some thoughts?
Yes. I want to share,
all right,
share some. Hey, I want to give a shout out to my boy, the King, Tremaine Edwards, coaching up there at Chapman Middle School. Them Indians did something. I appreciate you, boy. You're a proud mama here in Montgomery, Alabama. Praying for you. Hey, good year, back to back. 2018-2019. Hey, shout out to my boy.
All right, awesome. And we thank you for calling in. Coach Tremaine, that was mama. Miss Edwards, we appreciate you over in Montgomery. And she gave us a shout out. That's what this show is all about. We can give a shout out, but, you know, you can be the same way. But we're at the end of the hour now, and we're very excited about having the opportunity. And I want to ask Coach Edwards and Coach Smith to close it out on their end. Then I'm going to do that by closing out. But I'm sorry, we didn't get our 10th caller tonight. And that from the point I asked for the 10 callers. Now, we have 10 callers, but we just want to make sure from that point that we asked for, we didn't get that individual. But you know what? We'll move it on to the next opportunity. It'll be here. So we enjoy. But we want you to have an awesome Valentine's Day tomorrow for those individuals with your mates, your friends, your family. Enjoy yourself. Coach Edwards, you're first up to close it out on your end.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Dr. Smith, Lauren, glad to be with y'all tonight. People of the airway, glad to be with y'all. Sending shouts out to, like my mom said, them boys and girls Indians. They won the championship this year. Chapman Middle School won the girls and boys city championship in Huntsville. I won Coach of the Year this year too. So that's getting a lot of accolades for a resume, Dr. Smith. Getting a lot of accolades.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. King.
But
King.
glad to be here with y'all tonight. I'll be talking to y'all. I'll be hitting y'all up with the scores on Friday. Let y'all know what we're doing up toward this way. And I'll holler at y'all next Wednesday.
Awesome. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you, Coach Trey. All right. Congratulations again on the Coach of the Year and your team winning both of them back to back, girls and boys, for the middle school division in Huntsville, Alabama. All right, Coach Smith.
Okay, so I got a lot of announcements. Got about three or four, so I'm going to go ahead and get started. Next Saturday, February 23rd, from 10 to 2, we'll be having AAU tryouts. AAU is a summer travel team. We go a lot of places. It's going to be from the ages of 11 to 18, girls and boys. So y'all come out next week, next Saturday, February 23rd, from 10 to 2. We'll be having trials. It's a $10 fee. And kids, if you're listening, your parents must come and sign you in because it's a waiver that they must sign in order for you to try out. So see you guys next Saturday, February 23rd, from 10 to 2 at Park Crossing High School. $10 trial fee. Your parents must come ages 11 to 18. Also, I want to give a shout-out to two people, Coach Courtney Ward over at Pike Road Patriots, they did their thing this year. I'm so proud of her. It's her first year over there. Court C. Ward, keep doing what you're doing. Also, I have to give a shout-out to my high school basketball coach, Karima Collins. She now coaches down at Calhoun. She coaches the varsity girls, one of the assistant coaches. Coach, it's hun season, coach. It's hun season. Y'all down there, shut it down, coach. I'm so proud of you. So proud of the boys down there. I had a good show tonight. I had fun. Follow me on Facebook and Twitter tomorrow, Friday and Saturday. I'll be posting updates from the game, giving my take or whatever from the game. So y'all follow me on Facebook at Lorien Smith, Twitter Coach_L_Smith, and we're going to go ahead and make it happen this weekend.
Awesome. So excited to have both of you all here. We had an outstanding show. We're about to close this thing. I always close it out with a couple hashtags. Hashtag keep on grinding and also hashtag communicate for understanding. I want to thank all our listeners that's listened to us tonight, and we look forward to giving that gift certificate away. We didn't get it tonight. We will give it away. We have to give it Friday, or we'll make sure we have it available every week. So that's awesome. You know, I always tell everybody I love you. And it ain't a thing you can do about it. So have an awesome night, and we will see you on Friday at 5 o'clock Central Standard Time. We're going to try to do a little bit of live broadcast from those places. So you have an awesome night. Have an awesome, 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 as we said, Valentine's Day with whoever you think is your sweetheart, your family member, whoever. Just have an awesome time. And we look forward to having you again on Friday, if not for sure next week on Wednesday night. We love you, and ain't a thing you can do about it. So have a great night, because it's all about being game changers. You are the game changer.
You ain't never gotta ask, never gotta question my love. I ain't never gonna let nothing come between us. Girl, we can rule the world, we can have whatever we want. It's not like you're not worth it, more than deserve it. Girl, when it comes down to love, you're a game changer.
That's what you are. Mm-hmm.
Girl, you changed the game for me. Trying to take down everything I would meet. Well, when you came along, baby.